All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. A hot, beautiful Friday in Toronto. It's like 30 degrees out all of a sudden.
Yeah.
In Toronto. I love it. I love it.
I didn't see that one coming. Like, I knew it was going to be a decent. I thought originally it projected rain as the weatherman. I mean, these people, man, they
darts,
get a pass. Yeah,
whatever happens. No one complains if they get it wrong and it turns out to be nice.
You're right.
Dude,
right?
No complaints at all. I will say one thing. Like, I care about the universe, but let's continue to play golf well into November. Switch it up. A little bit of warming. Warm things up. I thought it was going to be happening. I mean, there's some weird stuff going on, fires, all things. We should be concerned and care for the universe. But let's stretch the golf season out a little bit.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right. Find a middle ground is what you're saying.
Exactly.
The environment and golf. Like,
there's
two things
cheated,
that are important.
Basically.
There is a couple of things involved there, yes.
Yeah.
Because of COVID, you guys got cheated for the opening, so you're getting an extended finish. How's that?
Do you remember how redonkulous that was? That we couldn't, like, a lot of things going on in the world, and it's like safety, everybody be safe, all kinds of stuff. And it was just the dumbest thing when Fordsy went up and said, guys are having pops in their cars. And I think back to that, and I'm like, that is maybe the craziest thing I've ever heard from a guy telling a community of golfers. Not
well, and more than that,
golf.
Tennis players, anyone
here's the
doing
thing.
Anything.
I believe him because I guarantee you there are people now that are goons on the golf course that are having pops in their cars. Don't
no,
lie
but
to
I
me.
Mean, as far as a reason, Jamie,
me.
That we couldn't go golfing.
I know, I'm not. I'm just joking. But I do. I'm sure you know one or two friends that have something that in that. I guess line of thinking.
Well, it's a social event,
exactly.
Of course, and that's the case with sports, and it doesn't matter. That's way
in
our past.
I know. I'm talking about you guys get the golf right now, and it's like 26,
exactly.
28 degrees today. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
brilliant.
It's beautiful, and I think
absolutely.
You know kids are getting out of school, and you're into the weekend, and I don't know what the weather's going to look like over the weekend, but it's kind of it's like a transition, right? Like we're getting into the fall. The fall kicks in, I guess, in 4 days. We're into the fall officially. And the weather is going to turn here, and we're getting into I had an experience this morning, actually, where I was at an establishment picking up some coffees and asked my wife, what does she want? And I got the first pumpkin spice latte request of the season with half hot, half milk, half cream, no whip, half whip. I'm like, you got to text me. Like, you got to text me your order. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to remember this.
Dude, I think if you polled women, I really do believe you're looking at an 85 to 90% favorite season this next 2 months. Because they go layer on layer on layer on layer, loving it, and the pumpkin spice option is available to them. I think it's by far their favorite season.
It's a great season. Lots of options, right? But
lots of options.
The pumpkin spice latte is officially in my world now. It's in, and I got to be honest, I've never had one. Like I'm not anti pumpkin spice latte, but it's not something that I'm that interested in trying. Maybe I should. Maybe we're missing out. Maybe I'm missing out.
If we
out.
Go
Maybe
back in the studio, we'll buy a round of pumpkin spices.
A round of pumkin spice.
Yeah, that's
for everyone involved. Right?
Not my thing either.
No, I don't know.
Never had a coffee in my life. Tastes like.
That's crazy. I met someone recently who said the same thing. He said he never had coffee in his life, and I referenced you immediately, Noodles, because I couldn't believe there was a second person out there like you that has never tasted coffee.
And I always preface my comments saying, that's not me being a hero, like I'm some sort of like nutrition freak or whatever. I'm drinking Diet A&W root beer right now.
That's what I was
going
to say. You people like, that don't drink coffee, you take a bath and Diet Coke in the
exactly.
morning.
Exactly. Like I will drink a Diet Coke if I want caffeine. I'll do something else. Like it's just not my thing. I don't like the taste of coffee.
But how do you know you've never actually tasted
it? I know exactly. I know the flavor. Coffee flavor, coffee beans, coffee. Like there's all sorts of, you know. That's like somebody says, Steph and I had an argument the other day. I don't like watermelon. She's like, well, it doesn't taste like anything. Okay, so I said, well, why would I eat it then?
I'm with
why
you.
Why would
on
I
that.
Have it?
I dude, couldn't think you, of a more no overrated way. Fruit than watermelon.
Dude, you shut up right now. You know what? That's a great snack in the summertime for the kids.
It's
noodles.
Useless.
What I want to say to you is you're
it's
getting
lazy
old
fruit.
Now. You're 50 years old. Just wake up. It's a lazy fruit.
It's a lazy fruit.
But it's the opposite because it's arduous. You got to cut the thing
yeah,
open.
It's true. You got,
my
you
kids
work
love
through.
It. My wife loves it. We have watermelon. I'm not interested myself. It's not a part
what
of my rotation
now
either.
Now that
just
I'm 50,
try,
what?
Just when you wake up at like early one morning and you're tired, like just have a hot cup of just black coffee. Enjoy the coffee. I think you'll love it.
I don't
like
black
the taste coffee of it. Is delicious.
It's not delicious.
I have a beautiful one going every show right in this mug.
And
I love it.
Believe me, again, I come back to this. It's not me being a hero. Like it's not like, hey, you know, coffee's bad for you or whatever. I would have no problem. I just don't like the flavor of it.
No, I
like,
think it's a smart play. It's
I don't
healthy.
Have a palate for it. It's
right.
Not healthy if I'm drinking a Diet Coke at 9 o'clock in the
no,
morning.
No, you could like, include that. Like, I drink Diet Cokes and I drink coffee. Like, I'm right. hopped up on caffeine from the 5 seconds after I wake up. You know, I'm jonesing for, like, a coffee, Diet Coke, like that. Those are my vices. I'm really living right. on the edge over here.
Like, speaking that's of watermelons. My watering hole in Carolina, which during the lockout was frequented after golf and some shifts, and one of the guys in there was saying that he had an invention. Me and my buddy Otter would go in there, and it was daily, and he's like, I'm working on something. It's kind of big, blah, blah, blah. And finally, like one night, like into the evening, we're like, what is this thing you're working on? And he tells us, he's looking to start growing square watermelons. And I was so taken back because I'm like, because he came up with some idea or his version of why it would be an advantage to be a square watermelon and why he was going to start growing them. And I couldn't do it, man.
It's just so unnatural. Like, who would want to buy, like, everyone knows the shape of a watermelon.
Dude,
so,
how do you start that? Like, even if you wanted to follow through with it, how do you get after growing a square watermelon?
I don't know. It's like artificial intelligence watermelon.
Yeah, you're gonna have to lock it in a grow it in a box that it grows only in that square.
Right.
Here's where he's onto something. Cutting the watermelon, because if it's square, you could cut it. You could have like nice proportional. I guess slices that
idea.
You'd be looking at.
It was a stupid idea.
You're not wrong about cutting it up. Like, I do that right. for my kids all the time.
Right, and there's always near the end, there's not enough, and in the middle,
particular.
There's lots. And
very particular.
Like I say, I it's just a unique fruit.
It's not my fruit either. Yeah,
it
I don't,
just it bothers
I'm not into
me.
It. I'm okay with watermelon candies, which gets back to a conversation
it.
We had yesterday. Which,
yeah, but
the
artificial.
Actual fruit, yeah, I'm not into it. Just not into it.
And for me, like, I just feel like there's a couple things. Like mushrooms. I'm not a mushroom person.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
don't
my mom would
mushroom.
Be like, well, they don't. I hate the argument where it's like, well, they have no taste. They don't taste like. Well, then why are you eating them? Why
well,
are you
they,
eating
they can
them?
Be somewhat healthier. They can add something to the dish.
Yeah, but mushrooms
clearly.
Do have a taste. You know what they taste like? Mushrooms.
Yeah, they taste like soil. They taste like the ground.
Dirt.
Yeah,
yeah
kind of
taste
like mushrooms
dirt.
Kind of have a dirty, like a dirt
great.
Type
yeah.
taste to them. Yeah,
I can't
know.
Get enough of mushrooms.
You're a mushroom guy?
Oh, so you have a nice steak and they offer you mushrooms, like sautéed mushrooms with butter or something, you take it?
Dude, load up everything with mushrooms. Steak, the casket, everything. Just put them all over me. I love them. I can't get enough of them.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a bridge too far for me as well.
Noodle. Anyway, so let's get to the game last night.
Yeah, congratulations exactly. to you and Al's brother. You know, it was,
I feel good.
You should feel good. You should feel good because you know what? It was my game that I picked, but you guys were adamant that you wanted the Giants plus 3.5. So
yes.
that counts as a win, I think, on your end as well. And maybe things are turning here. Maybe the tide is turning because we know the way this works. You get hot, you get cold. Generally speaking, it evens out. You go up the roller coaster. At some point, you have to go down. Al's brother, with the biggest gamble of the year, stepping out on a limb and taking the Dodgers at home against the D-backs, which no
yes.
one thought he should because it was almost impossible to believe the Dodgers would expand their lead to 47.5 games in the standings. That may have been the tipping point. Him just getting a taste of blood, right? Al's brother picking the Dodgers, it was like, okay, I'm feeling it now. And you two guys were both on the Giants last night. I misread the game. I didn't see the board properly. I thought I was seeing it like Neo in the Matrix. I was picking winners in week one and not a good start for week two.
Well,
and if you're a Giants fan, it's crushing because, yes, they covered the number,
teams.
But
that's
no,
what
but
they lost. They lost the cover,
exactly.
Right?
And they lost on an offside, on a missed kick. Like, it's just crushing if you're a Giants fan that Dexter Lawrence goes offside because you're holding your breath thinking this guy, you know, what are the chances? 20% he's going to miss that kick?
Right.
Maybe, you know, give maybe less than that, 10%.
Less than that. Yeah,
1 in 10 he's going to miss, and he pushes it right, and then the flag shows up on the screen, just the yellow flag. And you know it's against the Giants, and you know he's making it the second time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to see the percentage on a kicker taking it a second time after missing the first one but getting a repeat based on a flag. I would guess it's 100%.
For sure.
I would guess the kick the second time is 100% across the board. Crushing. But irrelevant from our standpoint because the Giants did not do enough to win, but they did enough to cover the numbers. So
yeah, and for the Thursday night sked, I know we pay attention because we like to see and we have our little bet, and it's the starting of our five-pack of bets for the week. But that game, I just watched those two teams, and I'm like, you guys are so irrelevant in the grand scheme of things in the NFL. Like that, it's just, I hope the Thursday night schedule, I think the last couple of years it hasn't been exactly stellar either, Hayes. Just give me something. Those two teams, man, they're going nowhere.
They're going nowhere, but it was a fun, entertaining game, though. You know, the fourth quarter was entertaining. Taylor Heinicke is a story that could develop into kind of a cult following. Who is he? Where'd he come from? He was a backup in the XFL, and he was going to retire from football, and he decided to stick it out. You're right. I mean, there are different forms of entertaining sports. The best are when it's the best on best, and it's entertaining, and lead changes, and back and forth, and it comes down to the wire. That is good football paired with entertaining football.
Right.
Last night was maybe bad football combined with entertaining football, but I will take that over a blowout last night between two irrelevant teams. You know, and,
right.
And we're only into the second week. I'm not going to start complaining 2 weeks in about a football game on a Thursday night when the Jays weren't playing last night. You know, I would have watched the two worst teams in the league go back and forth and, you know, win 3-0. One of them wins 3-0 happily last night.
Yeah,
so.
And the Danny Dimes reports just continue to flood in where people – it's kind of hit and miss with the experts. Some are like, I don't know where that organization thinks they're going with him at quarterback for the Giants, and there's other people saying, just be patient with that guy. He is going to be the real deal. And I really don't know what to think of him as far as the Giants getting through this and him being at the helm. I don't see him being a guy that's ever going to put them into a compete – for a Super Bowl type of play. I don't see that.
No, I don't see it either. I don't see him as elite at any point in his career.
Or is he going to be elite, which begs the question, why do you continue to pay him and invest and trick yourself into thinking that he's that guy when you know damn well he's probably not? That's what I've never understood about that position and certain players like that in the league.
And you know the marketplace, too. They're not going to let him off the hook. Like, is he loved there? I don't think he is. Is he?
It wasn't a good start. Remember, he got drafted and he got booed and people were freaking out. Like, he was hated in New York immediately. Like, it was his fault he got drafted by the Giants.
It's his third year. I don't know if he's a dud. Somebody in our text chain said he's a dud. I don't think he's a dud, but I don't know if he's – what's his trajectory? Like, do you think he'll be – can he be a top 15 quarterback in this league?
I think he's got the potential to be the middle-of-the-pack guy.
Right. That's a middle-of-the-pack guy, right?
Yeah, like, can he be the 13th best quarterback in the league? Maybe. And if
that called you coach the other day?
We had Brad Johnson on.
Maybe he ends up being a guy like that.
And Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl when the other 52 guys on the roster were loaded.
Yeah, that's
and they had one of the best defensive teams of all time, a good run game, a good coach.
Maybe he could be that.
That's what I would think is the ceiling. And to be fair to him, their offensive line has been historically inept for the past couple of years. Like, horrendous. And last night they held up really well against a strong defensive line in Washington. And when he had some time, he made some nice throws last night. And he is mobile. He's capable of getting outside of the pocket and running. So I think if you give him protection, he's capable of being a pretty good quarterback. But he's never going to be an MVP caliber guy. Like, that's I think it's been determined already. He is not going to be up there with Mahomes and Rodgers and Wilson. You know, that's just not going to happen. That's not who he is.
He's not a stud then.
He's not a stud. He's not a stud.
But he can
capable?
Be a player.
Yes.
Yeah, he can be
he
a
can
player.
He can be a capable player. And then if you're building the team, it's on you to have weapons everywhere else, a strong offensive line, great defense, good special teams, discipline, good coach. Like, there's a lot that has to come with it if you have a guy who at best is going to be middle of the pack.
Right.
You know, you got to build around him and strong around him, because that's the thing. You can cut some corners if you have Mahomes on your team. You know, like if you put Daniel Jones in Kansas City, do they win 9 games? What do they win? I don't know what they win. Yeah. They still have talent there. Tyreek Hill's there and Kelsey's there, and they've got playmakers on both sides of the ball. But are they a 9-win team? But with Mahomes, they're probably a 14-win team.
Maybe we'll ask Sean Marion that question. He's coming up later. We'll just say, what do you think Danny Dimes does with Kansas City? What would their record be?
Right. And vice versa. Mahomes in New York with the Giants.
Yeah.
You know, what are the records of the two teams?
Mahomes is special. So he's going to drag his team to something. So, you know, regardless of what the Giants are throwing up, like, he's going to find a way to be special there, where if you say Danny Dimes, you know, on your, as a coach, your professional opinion is a middle of the road guy. He might drag Kansas City down to, you know, 3 or 4 less wins, correct?
Oh, I think so, for sure. Yeah, I think Mahomes v. Jones is probably an adjusted 5-win team, you know, one way or the other. I think Mahomes
is
5 wins above Jones. You know, instead of wins above replacement, it's WAJ. It's a WAJ. He is 5 wins above Jones.
Okay, so
I would say
so Rodgers last year would be same type of thing. Five wins.
The same thing. Rodgers last year in his MVP would have had a 5 WAJ rating.
5 WAJ. Wow.
I think so. So we'll see what Merriman can tell us about it. Maybe Sean's got a deeper understanding of the WAJ Richter scale.
Well, that Washington team, I was happy for them.
Yeah, good for them.
They picked up a win.
Taylor Heineke's an easy guy to like, right? He's completely, I don't know his background. I don't know who he is, where he's from, where he came from. But whenever you hear, was in the XFL, was thinking of retiring, and then all of a sudden is out there and finding a way to win a game, you're like, okay, that's a story that
good story.
Is kind of easy to sell. So, yeah, we'll catch up with Sean a little bit later this afternoon. Ryan Dempster will join us in about 10 minutes. The Jays are back in action tonight, Minnesota in town. Hyunjin Ryu is on the mound for the Jays. Pineda on the mound for the Twins. Scotty Barnes throwing out the first pitch tonight. Scotty Barnes, he's coming on at 5:40. We got Scotty Barnes on at 5:40. We haven't caught up with him yet. And I'm nervous for Scotty. We'll ask him. We have this conversation every couple of months with a guest. You're throwing out the first pitch. What do you expect? Remember, we had Jack Armstrong on. We had Josh Allen on when they were throwing out the first pitch with the Jays when they were down playing in Buffalo. And for Scotty's sake, man, I just hope he gets it to the plate.
I know.
You know, gets out of there and it's all good.
I know out of all of our group, that includes Mulls, the grappler, Al's brother, and the three of us, if we were on, you know, on the mound, who would be the worst? I can tell you who I believe will be the worst. Me.
I can tell you right now, me, because I can't.
You got a bad shoulder, though.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. I went to the, what is it, the X, where they had the pitching competition, and I told my buddy, I said, I can bet you I could throw at 85.
Oh, dude.
85 is rich.
No chance.
That's pretty bad.
I don't think you can throw at 60.
Listen to this, because I said, I can't obviously get it up there, like 90s or whatever, like big leaguers. I go, I can throw at 80 or 85. He goes, I'll bet you $100, get in there. Guess what the number was? I'm not kidding. I almost blew out my shoulder.
48.
And the number, 58. The number popped up, 37.
Yeah, 37.
Just a bit outside.
Harry Doyle.
And I leaned back on the second one, and you were exactly right, Hayes. It was 48, and that's as high, and that's as hard as I could throw it.
48 miles an hour. That's I would think the average person throws it around 40. Maybe less than that. If we're talking like the whole globe, that'd be an interesting experiment. Yeah, it's probably like, what would it be, 20? You know, like if you have a ball and it technically goes somewhere in the air, what's that going? Minimum 15 miles an hour? 20? Yeah. So you were like double the min probably at the X. And that's
like an analytics guru today.
I'm really into it today. I got the calculator out.
Wins
above Jones and
square watermelons. Everything
is happening
today.
I know I don't have the mechanics. For years, I've struggled to throw. I don't know if I've got the extension. I don't even know if I have the flexibility in my – but I don't have the flexibility in my shoulders anymore to do it properly. Like,
I think
that's
we need to set this up. I think we all need to set it. You know, the grappler thinks he's going to be the best one at it.
Oh, my God.
He's in beer
he's
league.
Randy
well, him and, oh, I forgot Joe from the Bridge. We've got to include
Joe
him
from the
now.
Bridge,
I forgot.
Of course. I don't know about
because
Joe
they're
from
both
the Bridge.
Very, very highly competitive, as we saw
right.
over the weekend. They
Please
talked
look at
about
the
themselves.
Message that the producer of this show just sent. He claims in his peak, he could throw 88.
Listen, there's no way. And
he's
he pitched
Randy
at
Johnson.
University. Where?
This guy's such an idiot here.
Yeah, DeVry University.
Online.
Like, DeVry.
He's online. That's a video game.
Yeah,
it's online.
What
he's
university?
In that Phoenix University commercial.
Okay, we got to grow the grappler.
In Phoenix.
There's no way the grappler hit 88 on the gun. Now, he's a big dude.
Yes.
Dude, he is lanky, and he hits a golf ball. He's got swing speed that's outrageous,
he
Tiger Woods-like.
Crushes a golf ball. Yes, he does.
So maybe
but that
he can
doesn't,
do it.
That does, well, I don't think there's a connection between hitting a golf ball like, oh, it's a perfect – oh, can hit a ball 300, and he's clocking out at 38 at the X. So there's no connection between
well,
golf
might
and
be
a
the
pitch.
Velocity,
I'm just asking
like
in the future of this show, we don't need to continue to refer – clocking 38 at the X. Like if it's not a jab, like it's not a gif, like clocking yeah. 38 at the X.
No,
it's not.
But I mean,
let's just end it today.
I would be less. Like I know I'd be less. And the thing is it wouldn't be straight. I would be, what's the girl? Call Me Maybe. What's Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh,
that's
Carly
what
Rae
I would
Jepsen.
Be doing.
That's not worse than 50 Cent. What 50 Cent. I thought 50 Cent was like a man's man and he could get up there and throw some heat. This guy almost broke his arm, like his shoulder.
I think
his
he's
arm.
A lefty, too. Not that that matters, but
yeah,
it kind of looked.
It made it look uglier.
More awkward for
it
some reason.
It was awkward. 50 Cent, he's seen some things. Isn't he the guy? He's been shot a couple times.
Oh, yeah,
times, he
was shot
he?
Like 9 times and survived.
Yeah.
And that was before that he ever like broke out as
East St. Louis. Like, East St. Louis, you just, like, you drive as fast as you can going through there. It's one of the scariest. I believe it's one of the highest murder rates in all of America.
Yeah, you like say
you
Louis, I think you're
you
right. I've seen that on the list.
You don't go there. Like,
I think he's
scary
from New York,
stuff.
Though. 50 Cent's from New York somewhere. But
okay.
He's, yeah, he got, he, that was a, he's written songs about that. That movie he was in about his life, I think, was, you know, a big part of the storyline. But we got to set this up. We all got to get out there. We got to find a mound, probably a raised mound. We need to get a gun. I don't think I'd throw heat, but I'd hit the center of the plate. I think I'd throw the most strikes. I'd be willing. I'll put some money on that. I feel pretty good about my mechanics.
Dude, I don't even want to hear the language on the baseball because remember last year I had the pitcher set up to go to Christy Pitts, and you said you could get bat on ball, and you bailed on that.
Well,
so why would you follow through on anything like this?
This one's different.
The
that
guy
was
said someone, he would. What?
Couple things on that. One, I don't live anywhere close to Christy Pitts. B, it was
true.
During a pandemic. C, I don't know who that guy is. This is the six of us. Showing up at the station whenever we do that, and we throw a ball against the wall. Like, that's
yeah.
not an issue at all.
How are you going to clock it? You're going to get grappler with a cop's gun from his
we'll
car?
We'll get someone to clock it. We'll tape it, and hashtag clocking 38 at the X will be trending
yeah.
whenever we
yeah.
do that.
Well, I have to correct myself because 50 Cent, you're right, is from New York. Nelly is from St. Louis.
Nelly's from St. Oh,
that's
there's been a
St.
lot
yeah,
of artists
and,
from St. Louis.
And
but,
I believe that – I thought Nelly had some shooting issues there too.
I don't know about that. But
scary stuff.
Anyway, all right, we've got Ryan Dempster coming up, teeing up the series with the Twins in town. We've got Rick Tocchet on just after 5 o'clock, Scotty Barnes later this afternoon. We've got our picks looking ahead to Sunday. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Rick Tocchet will join us in about a half an hour. Former NHL coach, NHL player, good Scarborough boy. And now he's with the NHL on TNT. He'll be doing studio work with
yeah.
them. So we'll catch up with Rick. Yeah, he'll be an analyst. So be good to catch up with him and see what he's doing to prepare for the new gig. He's been around hockey forever.
Oh, yeah. He probably just can't wait to chew on some of the players that he hated. Like, I think dog.
Doesn't he have the record for the most Gordie Howe hat tricks?
I wouldn't doubt it, man.
Yeah, I think it's Rick Tocchet. I think he, and I don't remember what the number is, but I think he's in the clubhouse. Number one.
Could you imagine having like an off night and coach barking at you, and you're a little bit pissed off, and you turn around and he's staring at you? He's one of the more intimidating coaches that played the game. You know, like you turn around, like Tim Hunter, like remember that? Like Tim Hunter was an animal, and you turn around and he's got that giant nose that's got a joint in it. It's so big, and it, like he's just staring at you. Like those guys are intimidating.
Berube is number one on my list.
Yes, Craig Berube.
I'd be so terrified if I took a dumb penalty and came back across the ice after the team scored in the third.
Dude, I told you his antics. Throat slashing, gesturing to me in Philadelphia in warm-up, and I don't even know him. Like, first time he's just there. And I don't know if Gary Roberts told him to do it, but he's just staring at me. I don't know the guy. I've obviously never fought him. Throat slashing, staring at me. And I said to Robs, I go, what the hell's up with that guy? And he said, I don't know. Just stay away from him. Like, didn't say he's joking or whatever. He's like, I don't know. Just stay away.
So Roberts was on your team?
Yeah, and they were really good buddies. And this guy is doing the throat slash gesture. And I'm like, what the hell did I'm like, I didn't fight anybody, and I got to deal with that guy. And I'm just like, no way.
I'd be pretty jaded if Roberts was the one that put him up to it.
Yeah. I guarantee you he did. Probably said, hey, give this young kid a little
scare.
Jamie,
you know how those old school guys were. If they didn't like a young guy on their own team, they would call a friend of theirs, an old guy in another team, and say, beat the hell out of that guy, please, because I can't stand him.
Or just give him a good scare.
Anything. Like, just that's how it operated. Just beat up that guy, hit him in the corner, cross-check him in the face, tell him you're going to kill him, and see what he does. That's how sick in the head they were.
That's normal. Well, coaches used to do that back in the day, like in camp. They'd tell, like, if you had a split scrimmage, be like telling someone to go fight someone else. We're like, we're all on the same team.
Yeah,
but I just want to see what happens. Say, like, okay, that's
normal. It happens. It does happen.
I don't know if it happens anymore.
No, not anymore. The game's changed. But back in the day, it did happen, for sure.
Back in the day, for sure. Jay's back in town, back in action tonight, and looking good. The Yankees losing last night to Baltimore. Shout out to the Orioles. Here is former MLB pitcher, MLB Network analyst Ryan Dempster back on Overdrive. What's happening, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing very well. We're obviously
You guys like me, right? Hold on. Before we go any further, I want to make sure you guys like me, because I don't want you calling anybody else and any other radio stations and having them kick my butt.
We love you, man.
Okay, cool. All right, we're good.
I wonder what that would look like. You know, if you're doing a radio hit in, you know, Vancouver or Montreal, we said, you'd really got to grill this guy because we're not a fan of Dempster. I don't know what that would sound like over the air, but is there a similar type of mentality in the baseball world? If you got a young guy on your team that you don't like, And you know the opposing starting pitcher, would you ever say, hey, can you graze this guy or send him a message because we're not the biggest fan over here?
No, we just try to stick him with the bill every time we go to dinner.
That makes more
That's
sense.
That's easiest way. Yeah, it hurts a little bit more in the wallet, you know. The bruises go away. That wallet sting when you're a rookie, you don't want to dip in there. I like it.
Yeah.
Before we get to, you know, hard-hitting baseball talk, in hockey – there's a favorite movie that everyone kind of knows. It's Slapshot. You know, where does Bull Durham or any of those, you know, for the love of the game, like those, I guess, baseball movies, do the guys, are they aware of them? Do they quote lines from them? Like, we did that in hockey. Is it the same applied in baseball?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Bull Durham is pretty similar as far as, you know, for my era anyways, like, that was kind of like the Slapshot of baseball clubhouses. There was always a line. That Major League, I think, were the two.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, every time somebody would ole a ball, you just hear somebody on the bench go, get in front of it. Let's go, Dorn. You know, so there was always those moments going on.
Yeah, I love that idea. We had a guy on the show yesterday, Luke Wilson, who's a Canadian NFL player, and he's retired. He was telling us about the routine in the NFL where the night before a game – everyone stays at a hotel, even if it's a home game. You stay at a hotel. You cannot leave your floor. There is security by the elevator.
And police.
And police and coaches will knock on your door and break into your door and check on you to make sure you're there. And he said, I've heard stories in baseball, it's pretty much the complete opposite. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the rules and regulations on the road? Like, was there ever a curfew at any point in your major league career?
Major league career, no. Minor league career, I think the last time I ever got a knock on the door was A-ball. But you were free to, you know, kind of come and go and do what you wanted in baseball. But this, you know, I get it. There's a lot riding. They work all week for that one game. We're playing games all the time. So, like, you know, for me, I pitch and then I got 4 days off. If you want to keep me in my hotel room, that's going to be an issue. I think probably, you know, one of the best ones was with the 2013 Red Sox. I had a death threat out because I hit a certain player on another team that played in New York. And so they had, it was like a legit death threat. And well, they said that anyways, I don't know how legit it was, but so I had extra security with me on the road. Well, we were hanging out in my suite. We had Jake Peavy plays the guitar, so he's playing the guitar, and we had all the boys in the room. We had dinner, and we were just kind of hanging out, and everybody was dispersing back to their rooms wee hours of the morning. And I just decided it was a good idea to go to Times Square at about, you know, 3:30 or 4 o'clock and take Peavy's guitar and play it in the middle of the street with Johnny Gomes and say, if this guy's going to come for me, I guess it's going to come for now. And so the next day I get up and our head of security's like, Dave Brady, he's like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? And I go, well, I just figured that was probably the time. I mean, like, and he goes, did you get any money in your guitar case? I said, no, I'm not very good at guitar. He goes, yes, what happens when you suck at guitar and you wear designer jeans? So
that's awesome. So
the night you pitched.
There was no curfew in baseball.
So let me clarify, though. 4 a.m., New York, Times Square, Ryan Dempster is playing a guitar, and there's people walking past you. And they're like, hey, did anyone recognize you? Or?
No. And I got to say something. That is the best time to go to Times Square because there's not many people out there, and it's surreal. It's quiet. There's nobody there, and you kind of just can take it all in. It's almost like a scene out of a movie because there's – it's like really only from about 3:30 to 4:30, and then all of a sudden things start to pick back up again. Here come all the trash trucks picking up everything before the day starts. So kind of if you're looking for something to do in New York City at that time of the day, it's a great place to go.
So you would pitch, and then the night after you pitch or the night of you pitching when the game's over, how many nights is go time on the road for you? Is it like that night and then the night after and then you dial it back, or how did you kind of figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, it's hit and miss. Depends on what city you're in. Depends on, you know, if you have a tee time early in the morning the next day. There's a lot of contributing factors, you know, if you got family in town. When my buddies and brothers came in, it was like, I always loved that, right? So, like, you're playing professional sports for a living. You get paid a lot of money to do your job. But then all your family and friends, like, come in. My buddies would come in from home. Like, I'm still, like, great friends with all my grade school buddies. And they're like, let's go. We're going out tonight. And I'm like, yeah, I got to work tomorrow. And so they're like, who cares, you know? And then I go home in the off season, and I'm like, hey, let's go out tonight. And they're like, hey, dude, I can't, man. I got to be in the office. And I'm like, you got three people watching you. I got 40,000 in stands and another million on TV. And you're complaining about having to go. No, you're going out. Let's go. To the Roxy we go. Come on.
Right. I love that idea, the two-way street, the boys on the road. They're like, don't be a loser. Like, who cares that you're pitching tomorrow? But Jim in accounting couldn't dare go out for a couple of beers.
No chance. You had to have that 8 a.m. you know, arrival at work.
Right. You got to punch in, man. Not possible. You're a bad influence during the off season. We're chatting with Ryan Dempster. So how are you handicapping this wild card race in the AL? It feels like it's a three-team race at this point. Jays, Yankees, Red Sox. If you were to put some money down on the odd team out as of today, who would you put that money on?
As the odd team out?
Yes.
Whoa, I don't know. Something worries me about the way the Yankees are playing. Like, you go in, they're not beating the teams they should be beating, like Baltimore. Like, you know, they're struggling. They're finding ways to lose games rather than win them. So, to me, I that's a concern. I don't think they're as deep in the starting pitching place as the other two teams, but, you know, that's just me. And I feel like, you know, the trades that they made, right? Like, Rizzo's done okay since he's got there. You know, he battled through the COVID stuff, so that obviously is an issue. But Joey Gallo hasn't been good at all. And so, you know, it's how you're playing in September for a wild card team that matters. And, you know, it's clear and evident right now the best team playing in the American League in September is the Blue Jays. And so they're the hottest team going, and they're starting to really feel it. They're firing on all cylinders. So if I had to pick one to be out, I'd say the Yankees, but, you know, things could change tomorrow. Who knows?
Well, that's the amazing thing, right, where the Jays 2.5 weeks ago, they weren't even really in the conversation. It was fading and going the opposite way, and then they've been red hot ever since. And I don't know if you're a big run differential guy, but if you look at the run differential between these three teams, the Jays are plus 175 on the season. The Sox are plus 60. The Yankees are plus 33. Now, ultimately, it comes down to wins and losses. That is what determines everything. But run differential, analytically speaking, you know, can tell you something, maybe can tell you more about the below the surface stuff. And that would suggest the Jays are just dummying teams and putting up massive runs and not giving up that much, which is a pretty good formula for success.
Yeah. And if you look at kind of like throughout the course of the season, really, they've been in, you know, the top five or six teams, I feel like, in the American League as far as run differential. Scoring runs is not an issue. And I think they have the ability to score runs off of any pitcher. And I think that's super important because when you get to the playoffs, you're going to have the better teams, and therefore you're going to have the better pitching staff, so they're going to be able to score runs off those guys. And what they've done a tremendous job, probably as good as anybody, is they bury bad pitching. Like, if you're not a good pitching staff, they're going to expose you. Like, you know, when they face teams like the Orioles, I mean, you're putting up 11 runs in both games of a doubleheader, and they're scoring, you know, 22 runs. They thump some bad pitching. And so that's a little skewed because you're not going to face that type of pitching in the playoffs, but they also can go out there and score runs against guys like Gerrit Cole. They can score runs against the Rays and their way they bullpen and all those kind of things. So they have the ability to do that, and they got some guys now in their bullpen that are kind of coming together at the right time. It's all about timing. Like, yes, you have to have a good team. Of course, we all know that. But when you're playing good baseball, it's vital to be playing good baseball in September, and they're doing that right now, and we've seen it in the past. Teams that all of a sudden get in that last 2 weeks of the season, and then they, you know, they make a deep run in the playoffs because they're just firing on all cylinders.
Ryan, Steve Phillips was on SportsCenter the other day here, and he did a breakdown of Robbie Ray, his delivery in Arizona, and how the subtle changes or major changes. I didn't have the volume on, so I couldn't really hear what he was saying. But watching Robbie Ray in Arizona and his transformation, what he's doing here with the Jays, did you ever think he would see that, or how impressive is that transformation?
Yeah, I did. I did think that we would see it. I know that there was a point, I remember the Cubs were trying to get Robbie Ray from the Diamondbacks. This was years ago, and I loved the idea. I just thought he was just nasty. You know, he's got good ride on his fastball, and then he adds that wipeout slider, and, you know, you just, in your mind, you go, okay, I mean, this could really click, you know, at some point. And he was already having some good years, and, you know, he was doing his thing. He strikes out a lot of guys. That's never been an issue. But I'm like, if command becomes really good, this guy can be upper echelon, and he's showing that. And, you know, he tweaks some things. He finds, you know, something that works. And that's the evolution of a pitcher. Not everybody just comes in the league and just dominates right away. There's actually very few guys that do that. It takes, you know, some innings in the big league level, and he's found a place that he's really comfortable with. He obviously likes working with the pitching coach there, whether the analytics department really helps him, R&D, whatever it is. But something has really clicked, and he has got a chance to win the Cy Young, as good a chance as anybody else in the American League. And it's been a ton of fun to watch, and he's a guy that I'm sure the Blue Jays would love to have in their rotation going forward too. But he's a guy that's going to start the first game of the playoffs for you and go out there and shut down a really good lineup. Good pitching will beat good offense, and he's a good pitcher, so he has a chance to beat any lineup out there.
Great stuff as always, Ryan. Thank you for doing this, buddy. We'll do it again down the road.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And next time I'm in New York and we're there, we're going to Times Square. You got it?
We will fly in. 4:30 in the morning, we'll meet you at Times Square.
You got it. All right, folks.
There he is, Ryan Dempster, longtime pitcher and good Canadian boy, Western boy. You guys, I'm sure, can relate to that, where your buddies show up to your work and they're like, don't be a loser, don't be a nerd.
Yeah,
we're
going
up.
Let's go.
And then in the summer, you come home.
Times I would walk to the bus and just take a peek. I was on my way to go say hi. You see the state they're in after the game, and you just keep going to the bus.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm not doing it. Just boom.
But then you come home in the summer, they're like, no, I can't do that. I got stuff I got to do tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, you know their routine, right? It's like, let's go see our buddy play in Montreal. So they get into Montreal on the Friday night. Guess what they're doing at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning?
Oh, yeah.
Game time, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brunch
Greased.
And it's cocktails and it's, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole,
listen,
the whole
we've all been there and we've all, you know, one way or the other. Like, you know, I go home at – if I go home in the summer and I want to go out on a Tuesday night, my buddy's like, oh, I got a big meeting tomorrow. But yet, you're right. Down, you know, if they're in Calgary or wherever I played, boy, it's game on regardless. Because come on, you know, you're not playing anyways. You're the backup. Like, don't worry about the other guy. The guy would be fine. And, you know, it's just, it's excuse after excuse, excuse. And then you only get caught once in a while. That's the thing where – if you get tripped up or have to go in or there's an injury or something like that, you're in tough shape.
Oh, big time.
Now you're in trouble. Now you're in one.
That's the ultimate gamble. Yeah, if you don't think you're playing, there's always a chance you could at some point last minute. But, yeah, as for Robbie Ray and his dominance, I saw this yesterday. Leading the American League in ERA, strikeouts, quality starts, and innings pitched. So, for me, he should be the Cy Young winner as of today. It's him or Cole, I think, at this point. And, you know, Cole's been spectacular as well. Gerrit Cole has not won a Cy Young. So the whole narrative of Robbie Ray being someone different, Cole's been on the radar for a long time.
How has he not won a Cy Young?
I think he's been second a couple of times. He's been top five like four or five times.
It's like the Shea Weber then.
God.
Yeah, he's just right there.
Shea Weber was always kind of in that conversation.
Yeah, but this guy is like
an animal.
He's the dominant alpha dog. It's just like I can't believe he hasn't won one.
Yeah, well, and then you got, again, Robbie Ray. Lance Lynn's had a great year too, but I think it's Ray or Cole at this point. Rick Tocchet, in 20 minutes, we did not get to our Leafs pressure draft yesterday. We will do that today. We'll do that at 6 o'clock. We'll have our picks for week two on Sunday as well. Coming up, Al's brother will be in studio. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. You see the video going viral of the Clippers unveiling their new stadium. It's not going to open officially until 2024, but I guess they signed a big naming rights deal. Mm-hmm. They had some band performing. I couldn't tell who it was.
I just saw Paul George, like Kawhi. Like Kawhi just couldn't show up to put the shovel in there or no?
Kawhi's there. He's
there.
He
is there?
Watch this video up on TSN4. He is miserable. That's him in the white. He's so miserable. He can't believe he's there.
Okay.
He just spotted the camera watching him, too.
And he saw that again.
I didn't recognize because his hair looks longer. He's got it out or something because usually he's got it tight.
Play it again.
I didn't think it was he's just
look at him.
Life.
He spots the camera, too. It's like, are you serious? I got to sit here through this nonsense?
I would have loved to see his response to the email saying, Kawhi, we got this thing going on and you got to be there. I would have loved to see his response.
Yeah.
I guarantee it was, do I have to?
Yeah, and it was probably also responded after that. Yes, you have to. Like, you've signed another max deal. This is a massive announcement for us. We're out of the Staples Center, something we've been complaining about forever. Steve Ballmer's going to be there. And it looks like Ballmer, the guy right beside Ballmer, is, like, looking at Kawhi, hoping that he's happy and wondering maybe why he's not. And Kawhi's just like, I'm not doing it, man. At least in that moment. He's like, and listen, Paul George, it's not like George is standing up, you know, clapping for that band either. But what do you need a musical act for to announce the naming rights and unveil what your whole stadium
is
about?
That's Ballmer. He wants to put it pizzazz, and it's like, it's, I don't know. It's like Apollo Creed coming out for a match.
Pretty cool! Pretty damn cool!
He wanted to make it pretty cool, and he did. I love it.
Well, what band is that? I need to know the band.
Dude, like, that's not some famous band. That's like a Saturday night, what is it called, when they play all the songs?
Like karaoke band almost.
Yeah,
like a cover
like
band.
A cover band. That's some cover band in Los Angeles.
But that's not cool enough. What's the point? Why would you have a cover band?
Steve Ballmer has more – he has more money in his couch cushions than, you know, states. Like he would, you know, $10 million, whoever you want to perform, go ahead. Like, I don't know who that those artists were, but doesn't mean that. I don't know enough about, you know, young pop artists right now. So
maybe someone very popular that did cost them $1 million to show
that's
up.
That's not Vanilla Ice. That's not Vanilla Ice showing up. Or
no, it's not. Yeah, no, it's not. It's not some. You know, it's not Three Doors Down showing up playing. You know, their hits from the 2002 record that came out.
Right.
But I have no idea who it is. And I asked the grappler to try to find out, and he has not been able to conclude who that is.
Well, he's in the backyard. He's Uncle Rico all of a sudden.
Right. He's working on his pitch sequence. You know the grappler's going to show up when we do this and claim he's got a off-speed pitch.
Full baseball uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be decked out. He'll have cleats. You know,
he'll be the cable guy warming up for basketball. That's what he'll be. That's what
either that or he's going to come down with an injury because all of a sudden he realizes he can't throw 88. So he's like,
Or he'll get tossed before it even starts.
That's true.
He'll get lippy with whoever's doing the camera work and get tossed.
Nose to nose from
Moron. He just said he throws a circle change.
A slider.
This guy pitched at Guelph University. No one at Guelph had a circle change.
Does Guelph even have a baseball team?
No, they have a hockey team.
They got great bars there, I think. Too that Guelph is a great school.
Yeah, it's
my understanding.
Very good
school. Shout out, Palace.
Very good school. Shout out to Guelph. Hour two coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.